Last Sunday, we dealt with the idea of being fully alive, and I went through four parts. We'll go back over those quickly today. If you'd like to write it down, you can. The idea of being fully alive comes from John 10:10. If you have your Bible, now, you will see up here a different scripture that, well, let me bring this thing up. I've got it on no-show. It doesn't help a bit, does it? There we go. Does that help you? All right, no-show. You don't need that. That is actually the resurrection passage. And we dealt with that. But in John 10:10, Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life." He said, "The thief," meaning the devil, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, "But I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly." And we shared some of what that meant. And we looked at how Jesus calls for us to have an abundant life, to live in fullness in Him. But we also very quickly found, that Jesus is crystal clear that He wants us to live a life of passion. Both these passages deal with that, with the idea of living passionately and living for Him. But we also looked to the book of Revelation and we found that Jesus, not so many years after the church had been started, that He's addressing the church at Laodicea. And the Laodicean mindset is prevalent in the church today, because what we basically have taken the idea is, let's just get along and don't bother anybody. We don't need to be fanatical. We just need to calm down and be. We just need to coexist and let everybody believe what they want to believe. You know, I have great difficulty personally with somebody saying, "Well, just let everybody believe what they want to believe." Well, I believe that if you put a loaded gun to your head and pull the trigger, the bullet won't come out of the chamber when I pull the trigger. That's what I believe. Is that okay? You go, "No, I believe that my children ought to play out on 85. There's no car going to hit them. Believe what you want to believe." Folks, it's the same danger when we fail to live passionately for Christ and with Him. We go, "Well, just let them believe what they want to. They're going to hell anyway. Just let them." In fact, most of the church, most church people, without really realizing it, we're saying it, that when we answer that way, really you're telling people, "Just go on to hell anyway. We don't care." Or we care, but we don't care enough to care. That's what happened at Laodicea. Jesus, that particular church, made Him sick. If you can imagine what makes Jesus sick, the absence of passion made Him sick. He said, "I wish that you were either hot or you're cold, but you're just basically lukewarm." Any of you ever picked up a lukewarm Coca-Cola or a lukewarm Pepsi and taken a swig of it? That's a nice taste, isn't it? Now, some of you might like lukewarm coffee. I don't like lukewarm water. Okay? Water out of tap is I want ice in it. I know it's ice, but I'm Southern, okay? And He says, "I wish," and Jesus says, to be that way, to have no passion. And Jesus said it Himself. He said, "I spew you out of my mouth." Jesus wants us to have passion. And then we begin to look at what it took to have passion. Nothing's ever been great, has ever been accomplished without passion. And I shared with you that many of our churches are like Laodicea, but if you've lost your passion, Jesus is here to help you recover it. We need passion. We're passionate about racing. We're passionate about football or basketball or baseball or fishing or this and that. Man, we'll get excited and talk about that. In fact, I shared with you last week that there's a series of books where people have written because they had a passion about steam. You think I'm joking? Passionate about steam. I'm passionate about a lot of things, but Steve's not one of them. Passion. First way to rekindle, or recapture your passion we shared last week was to think, act, and live young. Jesus said, "Unless you become like a little child," that doesn't mean you act like an immature idiot. But you got to think, act, and live young. I run into so many Christians, "I'm just hanging on. I'm going to make it through another week. I'm going to make it, God willing, I'm going to make it. God willing, I wish you'd kill about 2/3 of those people. I know that seems mean. I'm just holding on to the rapture." I got news for you. There's a whole lot going to happen before the rapture happens. And some of it's not good. They've lost their passion. Think, act, and live young, I mentioned President Jimmy Carter building houses for Habitat for Humanity in his 80s. I got people in there. Listen, I'm 61 now. Now, my body's wearing out, but I'm as young as I ever been. I got more youth and more excitement and passion in me, but I just can't make it. Now, I realize old age is creeping up on a bunch of us. Just look around. And you go, I just can't have it. Listen, I tell you what, if you can't physically do anymore, there is something you can become passionate about which will change the world. Become passionate about prayer.
Amen. Amen.
A lady in her 90s, couldn't walk anymore, in a wheelchair. But she managed to wheel herself into her prayer room like that lady on the show we saw in the war room. And she would pray for us. She said, I can't teach children anymore because I can't hold them. I can't pick them up. I can't get there. I can't work at the church in the kitchen or doing this and that. But I can pray. And folks, she was winning the battle and she was passionate about prayer. You say, well, I can't do anything anymore. Yes, you can. You can pray. Second thing we learn, you got to be willing to die. Die to what? Die to self. I'm so tired of churches. I'm tired of every church I've ever pastored, including this one, having people go, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't afford that. You know what we're saying is we don't have the faith to do it. Now, I don't mean to be stupid, but we can't do that. You know what the most famous saying among Baptists is? We've never done it that way before. You know, when Jesus got ready to go to the cross, if he'd gone, I've never done it that way before. We need to be willing to die to ourselves and look to Him. The passion is not in our ability, but in His. Stop depending on yourself. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branch. How many of you are, I'm waiting, folks. I'm waiting on summer tomatoes. I'm passionate about it. I want a beefsteak. I want a fresh beefsteak tomato so bad. But you know what? If you go out there when the tomato's green and you pull it off the vine, what's going to happen? It's going to taste like those things in the grocery store, yeah. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're just a branch. We're so busy trying to do it ourselves, we've forgotten that He's the life source. If I turn around and do this right now, I just cut the screen out. I can tell you those next slide says this, next slide says that, next slide. You don't see a thing. You don't understand a thing about that, do you? Why? Because I cut the source. We need to quit depending on ourselves and depend on Him. That's what's wrong in America today. We're so busy depending on ourselves, we have royally messed up everything. Last, we need to get connected and stay connected. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Just because we put a cross on the steeple and put Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or Episcopal or anything else on the front door because we have an organ and we have pews and we have preaching and we have Sunday school lessons doesn't mean that we care one thing about being tied into the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the old fellow said, just because I spend the night in the garage because my wife got mad at me doesn't make me a car. We need to stay connected to Him. You want to know what my greatest problem with the church is? With many of you, and I'm going to tell you, I have a problem with many of you. You've got a little bit of connection, and there's so much more you could get, but you don't want it. Now don't look at me like I don't know. I've been here long enough to know you don't want it. I've got just enough religion and just enough Jesus. Let Him be part of my life. The Bible doesn't say let Him be part of my work life, my daily. I got my work life, my family life, my home life, my fun life. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and you shall put Him first. And if anything else in your life, if it's your family, if it's your work, if it's anything else you're putting first, that is an idol. And people say we don't have idol worship in America. Don't you tell me we don't have idol worship. We got idol worship everywhere. Well, preacher, I would, or I would teach Sunday school, but Greg, get ready. It's that time for nominating. It's time for the goats to come out. Greg, I would, but We need to think, act, live young. We need to be willing to die. We need to stop depending on ourselves. And we need to get connected to the Lord. The next one. These are the two you need for today. We need to focus on the future. Proverbs 29:18. Some of y'all ain't seen me this fired up, have you? Proverbs 29:18. One of my favorite life passages. Number five, that was the four we did last week. Number five is focus on the future. And when I say focus on the future, I don't mean we sit around waiting for Jesus to come back or just for the world to run all over us. Focus on the future. It says where there is no vision, the people perish. Some Bibles say where there is no dream, the people are under strength. What does that mean? It means that we're not to do things our way. We're to find out and do it His way. Where there is no dream, the people perish. If you want to be fully alive, you need to understand something. God's not through yet. He's not done yet. Look at all the young people. One of the things I listen to more now, because I know the old hymns. I love the old hymns. Please hear me. I love Christian hymns. But I listen to a lot of contemporary music nowadays. Why? Because it's so fresh to know that God is still working in the hearts and minds of young people. And they're coming up with music that will just bless your heart. Rose, what's the latest one you and I are listening to? If
I will trust in
Him. But the words are,
if He doesn't move the mountain.
If you don't move the mountain, I need moved. If you don't part the waters, I need parted. Everybody goes, that contemporary jumps a bunch of, boy, that's straight out of Moses. And it says, I'll still believe. That song comes on and I think of the mountains I faced and I asked God to move them and they didn't move. He said, you either got to climb it or you got to wait right there. I think of the waters that have rolled over the top of me and I said, God, please stop these waves from rolling over me. And He said, the waves that are over your head are under my feet. I'll still believe. Future. I will trust in Him. Ephesians 3:20. Proverbs 29:18. What's your vision? I want to ask you, what's your vision? Ephesians 3:20. Listen to what the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says to us. Wonderful, wonderful words. Somebody move Ephesians in my Bible. Why did you do that? Listen to what he says. Paul's talking about the Lord. He says, now to Him who is able to do more abundantly beyond what you can ask or think, according to what? The power that works within us. What's the power that works within us? My brain power? My strength? I'm going to brag a little, but I don't need to. Can't get back to it. 2 years ago, at the Y in Thomasville, I was benching 225. Now, I know some of y'all are going, you know, if I was benching 225. I had worked for a year and a half to where this 59-year-old man was benching 225 pounds more than once. I quit doing it. All I can miss is a cheeseburger nowadays. You know what I'm saying? I wonder why my suits didn't fit because my weight hadn't gone up, but my body shifted. Amen? I don't look at me, some of you, the same way, but you know. I never thought I'd get there. I said, Lord, I really want to get where I can do this. I really have worked hard. I worked over a year lifting, and I started out light, and I finally got where I could do it. And then I went, okay, I'm tired. I forgot about the future. We need to focus on the future. God's not done. If we believe God's not done, we're not done. Future focus creates passion. A future focus creates great passion. I'm going to ask you who said it. Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream dreams that men say could never be and ask why not. Anybody know who said that? Wasn't John. Close. Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy. Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy is a young man thinking it, and yes, he got his life taken, but I want you to know that that has, as I look back on 34 years of ministry, I remember when I started out, that was the verse that I kept preaching at people and telling people, listen, God's not done. There's a future for us. Some men dream dreams or think things that could be, and they go, why bother? He said, I dream dreams men say could never be. The Apostle Paul wrote about something like that in Hebrews when he said, faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look at Hebrews 11:1. I want you to look there with me because I want you to know if you're at Ephesians head right, you'll get there. If you get to 1 Peter, you went too far. The Apostle Paul, writing about faith, said these words about the future. Folks, we need to get focused not on the present, but on the future. The present's here. We're going to deal with that. But we need to think about the future. Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream dreams that men say could never be and ask why not. The Apostle Paul said, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, dreamed about, the conviction of things not seen. He goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God-sized assignments, I've talked about them before. Most churches won't try a God-sized assignment. Why? Because they can't figure out how to do it themselves. A God-sized assignment is something that comes from God, and in our flesh, and in our fear, we say it's impossible. But Jesus said, nothing is impossible with God. I want to tell you a story about a little church in Monroe that I, and it wasn't me. I'm taking no credit. A little church in Monroe by the name of Morgan Mill. Not even as big as this one. We were running out of space. We didn't have any more space than we got now. We were running out of space. We didn't have space. Everybody goes, we got space. Tell me where. And so we decided we were going to build a family life. We began to dream and we began to say, God, what do you want? We decided we were going to build a family life center. We ended up building 15,000 square feet. That may be more than we have in all of our buildings. And we did it with less people than we got now, less money than we got now. How were we able to do it? And when we got all the plans drawn and we were going through it, we brought in all the architects and everything, and all of them said, you can have a third of the building you got for the money you can afford. And we kept praying, and God sent us a guy who built it. He built it because we said our max is $500,000. That's all we can afford. We built 15,000 square feet. I had a dream for that church. I had a vision, not for me to do it. If you go and look in the biblical recorder, you will find a church that the church is now called Lee Park. We built the building. We were successful. We started running something called Upward and had people coming in. No, we didn't ever grow to be a big church when I was there. And God finally said, you've got the building built. They've got land. You've got everything you need. It's time for you to go. And I thought, the Lord, he said, you're not the one to do it. Lee Park, a little church down the road, not too far, was landlocked, decided to merge with Morgan Mill. If you look at Lee Park to now, Lee Park on Morgan Mill Road, they are one of the fastest growing churches in the United States. Now you're saying you want us to be. No, I'm saying God had a dream and a vision. And let me tell you what makes it so exciting about Lee Park and to look back and to go, you know, I had part of that vision getting that started. But it was God working in me and through me, was that they are baptizing hundreds of people a year. All because they believed. All because they had a preacher that believed and they had people that believed. They looked at their bank account and said, we can't do it. We looked at our finances and said, we can't do it. But we prayed and God said, I know you can't, but I can. That's a God-sized assignment. Until we get to the point around here and in our lives, in our own God-sized, personal God-sized assignment, where we go, God, there is no way on earth I can do this. God's not going to be bothered with it. But when you go, Lord, I know you want it, but I don't know how to do it. And he's going to say, I do. With God, all things are possible. The last one, and we're going to close with this. You need to discover the compelling purpose of your life. You need to focus on the future, and you need to discover the compelling purpose of your life. I had planned from, though I had experienced, let me back up. I had experienced in the 10th grade a call to ministry. And I began to tell people I was going to go into the ministry, and I got called preacher boy and everything, and that kind of fizzled down. And from there on, I planned through college, the courses I took at Wingate, the courses I took at Carolina, I was going to be a lawyer. My uncle, W.T. Crisp was the senior attorney at Crisp, Bolt, Smith, Hector, Schwenk, and Davis. They were the largest law firm in Raleigh, and you've heard of something called REA, Rural Electrification Association, co-ops. My uncle was the genius behind doing that. I was the prime candidate to go to law school and to go to that firm. And today, it would be all them names and Slack on the end of it. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? But you know, God had something different for me. And he began to convince me that his compelling purpose for my life, I want you to hear this, his compelling purpose for my life was not that. Now, what I think is funny is my sister became the lawyer. I became the preacher. Why? I really wanted to be a lawyer. I can tell you right now, it'd be a whole lot more fun to be a lawyer than to be a preacher at times. But that was God's compelling purpose for my life. What am I trying to say to you? Some of you have lived into your older age and you've never discovered that God has a purpose for your life. Or maybe you have and you think that it's time to just quit. Let me tell you about a fellow by the name of Moses. Anybody know anything about Moses? When did Moses quit? The scripture says he quit when he went up on the mountain and he laid down to die. Till then, Moses didn't quit. Abraham, in his 90s, still having babies. Come on, some of you. Don't you look at me. They didn't quit. They had a compelling purpose for them. What's your compelling purpose? I'm not asking you what did you want to do. I wanted to be a lawyer. Folks, if I could have gotten through law school and joined that firm, I had it made. But that's not what God wanted me to do. He had a compelling purpose for my life. You know what's wrong? We live in a world today where we're just trying to get along. Do you realize how blessed we are? I get tickled with folks that go, I want to go back to the good old days. Any of you want to go back to the good old days, please raise your hand for the man's fun with you. I like to get a. How many of you like black and white TVs? How many of you want to do away with your cell phone and your texting and all that? Don't raise your hand on that. How many of you ladies want to go back to hooking the washing machine to the sink after you rolled it off the back porch and you washed them clothes and it did the twist? You know, didn't have the agitator like nowadays. How many of you want to go back to that? I got to see Rosa. How many of you want to give up your microwave? That was the good old days. They weren't that good. A compelling future. Do you realize how blessed we are? But hear this. Suicide rates in America are skyrocketing. Drug companies are making trillions of dollars off antidepressants. Now, I know that there are times you need an antidepressant. I'm not talking about people that take antidepressants. But isn't it amazing how depressed and afraid we are? God says, I have a compelling future. What we need to stop doing is stop just existing and start living. One of my favorite movies is The Shawshank Redemption. Wonderful movie, and toward the end, Red says this. He says, you get busy living, or you get busy dying. And he decided to get busy living. I've come to that point in my life where I thought, Lord, death is better than what Rose and I are going through right now. And I don't want to leave her, but I've got to decide, do I want to die? Am I just going to live out my days and die? Or am I going to get busy living? And that phrase came to me. You either get busy living or you get busy dying. All over America, churches, our size and bigger, churches that are focused on themselves, on the adults they have, and they're becoming grayer and grayer and grayer and fewer and fewer and fewer and deader and deader and deader are closing their doors. We need to focus on the future. I love it when people go, the children down here with me or the young people, they're our future. They're our future. They're not our future. They're our present. And a compelling purpose. Have you ever asked God what He wants you to do? Well, what do you want to do? Father, what do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? Be careful about praying that prayer, because He will tell you. But I promise you this, it will give you a passion for life you've never had. It's time, folks. It's time to quit dipping our finger in the water of full life and get fully alive for Him.
Amen.
He may come back for the sermon then. Some of you go, amen to that. Fully alive. Fully alive. Think, act, live young. Be willing to die to self. Stop depending on yourself. Get connected to Jesus and stay connected. And focus on the future. Discover your compelling life purpose. Closing question today. What's your dream for your life? You go, well, I don't have but a few years left. What's your dream? What do you want to accomplish in the next few days? I sat there and watched a show last night where they were doing a medical show where they were doing an experiment where they were going to give people something that would prolong, if they were cancer patients, prolong their life, but nothing but a few days. Maybe nothing but a few days. It may be a little longer than that. And the lady sends out a text and says, I'm looking for 5 people who will try this new, you know, this new drug. 41 showed up. Why? Because they wanted a few more days. I don't know about you. I want more than a few more days. I don't want to live forever. I don't want to live as long as my dad lived and some others. And I'm not thinking on that. I just don't. I figure Rose will kill me by then. But every day, I want to try to live with passion for the Lord. Because you see, folks, you can send your children, you can send your youth, and you can give them all these outside things. You can do that. What does it matter if she becomes homecoming queen? What does it matter if he gets a scholarship to the greatest university there is? And I'm not talking about Carolina. What does it matter if they grow up to be successful and yet they turn their back or never discover the full passion of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Father, to be fully alive, we've got to think and act young. To be fully alive, we've got to be willing to die to what we want and what we want for others. We need to stop depending on ourselves and we need to get connected to you. You are the branch. You are the life source. And we need to quit acting like we can operate without you. We need to focus here at Holloway's on the future. The immediate future and the future future. We need, Lord, to discover personally our compelling life purpose. Living for Jesus or living for self. Softly and tenderly, Jesus, you're calling. Church, come home. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 316. Jesus is calling. He's calling you to think and act and live young. He's calling you to be willing to die. He's calling you to stop depending on yourself. He's calling you to get connected and to focus on the future and to discover your compelling purpose. And I want to promise you this. Stop being like the disciples with Jesus walking nearby and hanging on to the sides of the boat. Be like Peter. At least he had the faith to get out of the boat. It's time we get out of the box we've created called church. It's time we get out of the boat and walk to the Lord.